interpretation and you remember it. He said, these people in this room are the kind of people I'm going to call this minister. They're not going to be orthodox. They're not going to be the kind that glorifies men and preachers and organizations, and they're loyal to programs and minute books and everything like the church that you're in. They're going to be people that's going to honor the Word of God. They ain't going to listen to anything else. They don't want nothing but the Word of God. They don't want no chaff. They don't want none of that mess of reading out of the minutes and all that stuff. And says, those are the kind of people I'm going to give you to support the prophetic ministry I've called you to for the restoration revival of this end time to lead it. And he says, of those people that I give you and put into your hands, and they support that work, and they hear the end time message and live a sanctified life and lift your hands up before God. He said, you have compassion on them and make a difference between them and other Christians, because I will have compassion on them and make a difference between them and other Christians likewise. You think I don't believe that? I believe that as much as Kumini believes the Koran, or Moses believed the Pentateuch, or Paul believed his epistles were from God. I believe it just as dogmatically. And I've seen it work. I've seen God bless the people of this ministry and save their families, and my own family is one of them. God have mercy sakes. And I've told this vision to people and sit down with mothers and dads and their families. I remember the first brother I told it to was out in Arkansas. Man, that I'd won his family to God. Of course, it's through God's grace. I didn't do it. It was the Holy Ghost using me. There ain't no braggadocio about it. I know what God does. It ain't me. It's God that worketh in me. And then that man was a farmer. His cotton patch was eaten up with boll weevils. And he didn't even have a tractor. He had no mule plowing with it. And he came after he got saved, and I preached on tithing and giving. He said, I won't have no tithe the way the boll weevils eating up my cotton. I said, well, brother, go out and rebuke them. Read Malachi 3, 10, 11 to him. Bring all the tithe in the storehouse, so forth, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. God said he'll run them boll weevils out. He looked at me and grinned, showed him pearly white teeth. He said, if you believe that, you come do it. That's good enough for the preacher, ain't it? Hey, you preaching, now you come out and show me how it's done. Let's go tell somebody. I said, brother, where you live? Outside of Jonesboro, Arkansas? Route 3 or something like that, found out where he was. I said, I'll tell you what, that's going to be hard to find. You be leaning on your mailbox in the morning about 10 o'clock out in that July sun. It was hot. And I'll find you. You just be leaning on your mailbox. I drove out there through Arkansas on that rock road, and finally I saw a man up there leaning on the mailbox. I knew I'd found him. I parked the car. I said, brother, show me the boll weevils. I'd never seen one. He took me out in that cotton patch. Great day. He pulled some of them squares and bowls open, and them little fellas was running everywhere, just like ants. I said, Brother Stevens, you mean what you said? You mean you're going to do what God told you to do and pay your tithes on this crop and even give beyond that? He said, yes, I mean it. I took my Bible. I knelt down. I read Malachi 3, 10, 11. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke these boll weevils. I command this desolation and destruction to leave this cotton patch in Jesus' name. And put your hand on this brother and raise him up to be a great farmer and a great Christian. We left that boll weevil patch. There's more boll weevil patch than there was cotton patch. I didn't see no boll weevils exit. But the next day when he come back to church the next night, he said, come up grinning. He said, ain't a boll weevil left in my cotton patch. I can't find a one. And you know the Lord straightened all that mess out of what they did in their destruction and punching holes in them bowls and everything. He made a good crop. The next year he made a better crop. And in the next few years I went back to see him. And he had a big red barn and a combine and everything else there, planting soybeans and all of that. Let me tell you what God can do. If you obey him, God will raise you up to be the envy of your neighbors. Praise God. But don't do it to be the envy. Don't do it to provoke them to jealousy. Do it to manifest the hand of God in your life, because truth has separated you to the Lord. Praise God, and you have intermeddled with all wisdom after you've been separated to God. You're going to have to separate yourself, or God's not going to bless you. God had compassion and made the difference in people that supported this ministry. And we don't brag about it. I don't get up on radio and tell it. I don't get up and cajole and tell people we're the best, and if you'll support us, what'll happen to you? I just quietly relate it to folks that I know are honest-hearted and want to get in God's move here in this end time in restoration. There was a fellow that started all this off. If there's anything wrong with it, I'll tell you who can blame it for is your father Abraham. And he is your father if you're in Christ. You got to recognize Abraham as your daddy. Praise God. And he's a great one. If you don't believe it, I'll get back to over into Genesis in just a moment. But in the book of Galatians, here's where it all starts. And you got to start here with old brother Abraham in Galatians, the 3rd chapter and verse 7. I want you to listen carefully to this. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, that's the Old Testament scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before, that's before us, the gospel unto Abraham. Now, Abraham had the gospel preached to him. Did you know that? Because the scripture prophetically foresaw that God would justify the heathen, that's us, through faith. That's how you got justified, by grace, but through faith. All right? He had the gospel preached to him a long time ago. And here's what that message said. In thee shall all the nations be blessed, if you'll obey God, of course. So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now remember that. Abraham had the gospel preached to him about 4,000 years ago. We haven't had it but about 1900. But Abraham heard it about 4,000 years ago and became the father of everybody that receives Christ. Now, if you don't believe it, stay in the same chapter, verse 26, Galatians 3. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Still talking about separation. The truth separates. Here's a great man. God separated him. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed or children. And seed means that you're the progenitors of that race. It's not Ishmaelites. It's not those Arabs over there that claim we're children of Abraham through Ishmael. Romans 9 explains that. All the children are not children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Say, we're seed. We're progenitors of that race. We keep the race alive. Not them Arabs. God have mercy. They keep a bad bloodstream alive. See, if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. Children that are the progenitors of that faith in Christ through us. And heirs according to the promise. Anything he was heir of, so are you and I.
It's at the end of side one. Please turn your cassette over for side two at this time. Thank you.